Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord and know the presence of God ministering to us. Amen. It's great to see Shushma. Still at university. Hallelujah. Amen. And a friend here. Come over here. Don't be afraid. And your name is?
Manita.
And she also is a friend, and she's at university, and they're doing the same course together. So, another one to put on the list and keep praying for, you know? Amen. Glory to Jesus. God is so good to us, yeah? Hallelujah. Just to remind everybody that our service will be a little bit shorter today. We're going to have a little bit of refreshments. If you haven't brought anything, there'll be a little bit of food around just after service. We're going to have a quick bite to eat together. And then we're going to be go to a church in Bentley. So we'd like to be leaving here around about maybe 5:30, 20 to 6 at the latest, to be there at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a time of praise and worship with two other churches there. So there'll be three churches gathering. So we're just going to enjoy the presence of the Lord and just bring a spirit of unity into the area. Amen. Thank you. And as we bring a spirit of unity into the area, we're going to see God moving in signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm still believing for that. What about you? Do you believe God is a miracle-working God? Amen. He's a miracle-working God. Sandip's a miracle. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. There's a miracle over there. Amen. Our God is bigger than any problem. I don't care how difficult school is or university. My God is bigger than any of those things. And some people think to me, say, well, what do you know? You know, I've got grey hair and one or two wrinkles and the same. But what do you know? I went to university. We didn't have the internet. We couldn't go on websites looking for information and finding all these things. When we were at school, we didn't have that information available to us. We had to go and get something like this. A book. It has pages in it. Sometimes it has pictures, but most of the time it has writing. This was university and school. Right? You know, we had to go to a library.
We did, yeah.
This was university and school. Now today, it's not, it's here. Huh? And it's accessible just about immediately, isn't it? And you can type in a word and it'll search for you. Yeah? Now you've got to look for a word in here. Don't tell me you've got it tough. Don't tell me that universities are difficult. I've been there. I know what it's like. But God can help. You know, if you and I put our hands in the hand of God and say, Lord, I need your help in everything I'm doing. I need your favor to be upon me in everything I'm doing. But Lord, I'm going to put you first before everything else. Then God will do it. Remember that. Praise God. We serve a great
big, wonderful God. Nothing is too big for God. No challenge is too big for God. Sandip wasn't too big for God. Amen. He was too big for you. The problem was too big for you. But it wasn't too big for God. And when we place these people in the hands of God, then God does a mighty work. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. But the thing that changes it is our prayer time. And our relationship we have with the Lord Jesus. That's what changes things. Our worship unto God. You know, prayer time. What is prayer? It's just sitting down and having a chat with God. That's what prayer is. She's saying, God, you know, I'm really having a rough day today. I need your help. Start talking to Him. Prayer's not this thing that probably most of you think about. Heavenly Father, we're gathered in this place today to worship You. I can do all that if you want. Is that what you do when you go and ask your Father? Oh, Father, I have a request from You. Will You please give me £10? Is that what you say to your dad?
No.
No? No? It's, dad, do you think you could let me borrow or lend me £10? Please, Daddy. Daddy, nice Daddy. Eh? Come on. Is that true? You go on sort of... I'm a friend. How are you doing? You spend time, you get close to people, don't you? And you get to know them, don't you? God wants you to get to know Him. And He wants to get to know you in that sense. He wants this friendship and this love. He wants to be able to embrace you and you to embrace God. And part of what our embracing God is in our time of worship. We embrace God and it teaches us to draw into His presence. It teaches us to sense when God's around. Because God does come around. Sometimes He's come around to me round about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we have one of those clocks, when it's dark, it shines on the ceiling and it tells you the time. So you don't have to move, you just open your eyes and you go, oh no, it's only 2 o'clock. And I said to God, God, I'm asleep in bed. Yeah, as if He doesn't know, you know. And He says, well, I'm not. I said, I know, but I need my sleep. He says, I need to talk to you. Have you ever had God speak to you at 2 o'clock in the morning? No? Am I the only one that He comes around and wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning? Well, the next time He comes around, I'm going to tell Him to go around to your house and wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. How about that? Eh? I want to just continue on from Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening we were sharing and talking about prayer, the power of prayer, of changing things, and we believe that. All of us here probably are here because of the power of prayer that has been, and conversation that somebody has had with God for you and for me. Amen. I'm glad somebody had a word with God about me. I'm glad that somebody took the time to introduce me to Jesus because they saved my life. Hallelujah. And I praise God for that. And I thank God that because He saved my life, He's helped me to introduce other people to Jesus, and that has saved their life. And that is so wonderful. And so it goes on and on and on. You see, the kingdom of God is advancing. Amen? It is not going to stop. It will continue to grow. Amen? And we can be proactive. We need to be proactive in this kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 19. And the woman said to him, Jesus, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship God. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our worship, our relationship, is not on a feelings level. It is not built on emotions. And every one of us can be emotional at different times. Give me an emotion. Crying is one. Give me another emotion. Happy. Laughter. Joy. Joy is a gift from the Spirit, actually. It's not an emotion. Okay. Just to sort of, you know, because we get these terms a little bit mixed up. We say, oh, I'm joyful. Well, the joy of the Lord, the Word of God says, is your strength. And joy is a spiritual dimension. Happiness is an emotion. Sadness is an emotion. But joy is from the Spirit of God. Because in a difficult time, you can know the joy of the Lord. In difficult times, you can know the peace of God. In sad times, you can know the peace of God. And it's not in your mind, the peace, because the world steals it. All the time, the world attacks your mind constantly, bombarding us. But when the peace of God is in our hearts, within our spirits, the world can't take our peace away. When the joy of the Lord is in our spirits, the world cannot take our joy away. Amen? Happiness can be taken away in a moment. You can have bought a new car. I saw this yesterday, actually. Driving down the road in a new car. And somebody... And you're so happy and glad that you've got this new car. It's wonderful. It's the guys that love this, you know, new cars. That, you know, smell of the fresh upholstery and maybe if it's leather and think, oh, it's lovely, this car, and the shininess, the wheels, and it's so quiet and smooth and you're really loving this. And you're so happy. And then all of a sudden, somebody does not see you and bang. What happens? You get out and you look at the car. Oh, And happiness can disappear. But joy stays. Because if we're not careful, we can be worshipping the car rather than the one who's given us eternal life, Jesus. iPhones. All sorts of phones these days, isn't there? You drop it, it breaks. All my information. All that's on there. What am I going to do? Happiness disappears for a brief time, doesn't it? Sadness comes in its place. It's only a phone. It can be recovered. But so many times we're moved by things and not by the Spirit of God. God, as Jesus says in this verse of Scripture, he said, God, verse 24, God is Spirit. And if you and I want to connect to Him, we must worship Him in spirit. We worship God with our spirit, not with our emotions. Because our emotions can change. We can get up on the morning, tomorrow morning, and it might be raining, it might be thundering and lightning, and we get up and we go, oh, I've got to go out in this. Oh. And our emotion has changed. We got up this morning, we drew back the curtains, the sun was shining, it was like, whoa, it's great to be alive, isn't it? You know, hallelujah, God's great. Our emotions can change, but our spirit is stable when the Word of God is in our lives. And so that there are circumstances that can seek to come against us and push against us and try and turn us around, but we stand and we say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the Word of God. You see, I remember going to Dill's house and Kamala to see Sandy a number of times. I remember having to say to them, do not be moved by what you see. Don't allow him to manipulate you. Begin to stand in faith and prayer and let God do the work. And as we did that, sometimes you have to take your hands off the situation. Sometimes you have to stand back and let God begin to move. So often we can come along and we think somebody's hurt, and and we're doing all this. And sometimes it's God working on them, changing them, working something through their lives. Sometimes we have to allow God to move in those areas. Because God is dealing with things in the spirit realm. See, you and I are firstly spirit, soul, and then a body. See, this body's going to change. Hate to tell you that, girl. As pretty as you are, things will change. You people that are married, look at your wife now. She's not exactly as you saw her when you first met her, is she? Nobody's saying anything. Okay. Okay. Maybe that's going down dangerous territory, eh? Have a look at it. Just go back and have a look at photographs of yourself. Really? Had some of the young people came up to our house one day, and I think they saw a photograph of me when I was 16. When I was 16, when we had those photographs taken in Poland, when I was 16 years old, and they went, "Who's that?" They saw some wedding photographs and said, "Wow, Grace hasn't changed, but you have." Just let me tell you, that's how to make enemies quickly, okay? We change. But the Bible says God does not change. No matter what's going on, God's not changing. And inside here, what God has created in you and me is not changing for the worse, but it is changing for the better in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We worship God in spirit and in truth. If we turn to Acts chapter 2, I want to encourage us at the moment to continue to get together, to pray, to meet together, because as we do, we become a powerful force in the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and distributing themselves, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. They were together. I'll give you another instance. It doesn't just mean they were together. They were together. They were united. They had one heart. They had one spirit. They had one goal. And that was to find God. To receive from the Spirit of God the power that Jesus had promised them. They were afraid. They were hiding. But when they came together, they were no longer individuals, but they became the corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They became one in the Spirit. And when we become one in the Spirit, principalities and powers have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Has to bow the knee to the church, to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come together, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come together and we see that principalities and powers are destroyed. Amen? So praise God. And so we need to come together and see God moving in power. And you know, sometimes it's going to put our plans a bit in disarray. We're going to have to change things. We're going to have to change our diaries. And say, well, I'm sorry, but I've got an important meeting. I'm meeting with God. I'm meeting with God. What is the most important thing in your life? And it has to be God. It has to be Jesus. Everything else will wait. Everything else will wait. I can look back at my life and I can see how there have been times when I have, many times when Grace and I have put God first. I suppose it gets me back to that scripture that we keep getting stuck on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first. Doesn't say seek God second. Doesn't say seek God third. He says seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first Jesus and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. I look at my lifestyle and my relationship that I've had for 40 odd years with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never failed me yet. He's never seen me go begging. He's never seen me go without. He's always been there in some way, somehow, helped me through. And I've needed help, let me tell you. But he's never, ever let me down. He's always there. And one of the things I've done is not only have I kept him the focus of my life, but I've joined together with other people of same heart, same mind, same goal, same vision, same desire to see Jesus become the King and the Lord of all creation's life. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And that is what God wants to have in your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be first. Now, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think of is Jesus. Not, oh God, what a morning this is going to be. He wants you to focus and say, praise God, it's another day. I wonder what this day will bring. What will the challenge be this day? And whatever the challenge is this day, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. No matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing, he said, I'm not going to leave you. The question is, do we leave him? So often happens, we forget about him. We get tied up with so much of the things of the world and we lose our connection. We lose our conversation with Jesus. You'll not find God on Facebook. You'll not find God sending you an email. You'll not find God sending you a text message. You'll find him on a one-to-one. On a one-to-one. Eyeball to eyeball. That's how you're going to find God. You're not going to find him on an iPhone. You might be encouraged. And that will encourage you maybe to look towards God. But you're only going to find God on a contact basis. God wants you to look into his eyes. God wants you to see through spiritual eyes who he really is. And when you and I see who God really is, we'll stop messing about. We'll be challenged to say, I need more. I need more of this. There are hundreds of thousands of people around here, and they're going to hell. Hundreds of thousands of people around here going to hell. And the only way they're going to find out is when we begin to be the light. When we begin to tell them. When we begin to show them. When we begin to move in the power of God. That's the only way they're going to get to know. So we have a great responsibility. What God has given to you, he's given it to you to share with others. It's not to keep. The Word of God tells us that if we withhold something, it will wither and die. If we just keep, it's just for me. This. It's not for you, it's just for me. It will die. But if I say, I've got something for you, Ivy, take something of that, and it will bring life. And I've made room for something to grow. I've made room for God to give me more, because I've suddenly given away. And you've received it. And in your receiving it, it begins to grow. And so then you have to give something away. You're giving of the things of God. And that relationship that you have with God will cause you to grow. Stand up a minute. You're not very tall compared with me, are you? Right? But you see, in the realm of the spirit, you're not that size. You understand? You see, in the realm of the spirit, we're bigger. We're bigger. Amen? You see, God is not confined. God is not confined to size. Because, let's be honest, he's worked a bit of this off, you know? Haven't you? But you see, if he was big and large, and you could say, well, you get more of God in there than you can in here. Well, that's not fair, is it? And he might say, well, you're taller than me. So, does that mean that because I'm taller than him, that I've got more of God than him? No. See, God is not limited by size. Not limited by strength. He's limited by our relationship. He's limited by our conversation that we have with him. That's what limits God. We have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, God, Jesus said, the Bible says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday. So what went on yesterday? Jesus was there. He's the same. Today, he's the same. Tomorrow, we think we know what tomorrow's going to bring for us, but we can't be 100% sure, can we? We don't know what tomorrow exactly will bring to us. Some of us have, we've got an idea. We've got a bit of a plan. But it can all change in a moment, can't it? Friday, Grace and I were trying to have a relaxing day. Yeah, we were gonna do some gardening. The weather was nice, you know. We're gonna just have a chill day in that sense. Didn't work out. We had a day, and there was pressure and stress trying to come onto our lives, and the day became busier and busier and busier. And in the end, we had in the evening, Rebecca's not here today, but we had to go out to Rebecca's fashion show. She's just finishing university. And we went out to that, and had a great time there. And I said, you know, I just want to chill. I just want to chill. And I did something I have not done for years. In fact, yeah, not done for years, really. We all went out to just have a snack somewhere. And do you know where we ended up? Can you believe where we... I did not believe I suggested this. But we ended up at a McDonald's at 10:30 at night. Me in McDonald's, of all places. I never go to McDonald's, you know. Like, there's no way I'm going to McDonald's. Forgive me, folks. I know some of you guys work there. But it's like, no way, not McDonald's food. But we went. We had a great time. I got in. Should I tell them what time I got in? We got in. We got in around about midnight. We were partying. We had a great time, did we not, Dharma? Oh. We laughed and laughed and laughed. And just rejoiced in what God is doing. Don't let things destroy your joy. The joy you see that you have comes from God. And it brings us victory every time. But that joy is maintained in our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ every day. How do you get in touch with Jesus? Dial in this book. His number's in here. You can talk to him anytime. Battery never goes flat. It never needs updating. The pages never go blank. He's always on. God's always there. He's always awake. No matter what time, God's always there. Isn't that great? You can talk to him anytime you want. You can wake at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and God's right there, waiting for you to speak to him. He can be anywhere in the world, and God's right at the side of the bed, waiting for you to talk to him. Fantastic. He's a friend, it says, that sticks closer than a brother. You know, you can't get, there's no gap between, yeah? He's always there for you. That's what we should be like. We're made in his image. We're made in God's image. Nothing should get between us because we're made in his image. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? God wants us to move in his power. God wants us to flow in his presence. What keeps us is worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That's what maintains us. That's what keeps us going. Acts chapter 12. I'm wanting to just show you what happens when you keep God. When you pray together, when you stand together, when you believe together, when you're of one heart, one mind, one voice, one spirit. This is what happens. Acts chapter 12. And verse 1. Just want to quickly read this story to you. And it starts off in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "And about that time Herod the king laid hands on some of those that belonged to the church in order to mistreat them." Whoa, what about waking up to that one in the morning? You know, Herod's got your name on a list. His soldiers are coming round to take you to the dungeons. Verse 2 it says, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Wow. This is not good. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And now it was during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to force square soldiers of guard to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But prayer for him was being made fervently in the church of God. Peter has been thrown into prison and the church is now beginning to pray. He says, and on that very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Now listen to this. Peter is chained to two guards. There are two guards behind a locked door, making sure nobody breaks in to break him out. And verse 7 suddenly says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appears, and a light shone in the cell and struck Peter on his side, saying, 'Rouse him,' saying, 'Get up quickly.' And his chains fell off. And the angel said to him, 'Get dressed. Put your sandals on.' And he did so. And he said to him, 'Wrap a cloak around yourself. Follow me.'" Can you imagine the time? You know, Peter's like, "Hang on, I must be dreaming. Because I know I'm chained up. I'm locked in a prison cell. I must be having a dream. So in his dream, as he thinks, he stands up. The Bible says he was having a vision. He says, and the angel told him to gird himself and follow. And he said, and follow me. He says, and he went out to follow him. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real. But he thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was hallucinating, dreaming. I'm escaping. Because nobody wants to stay in prison, do they? That's why he's thinking, I'm escaping. In his mind, he thinks he's escaping. And when he had passed the first and the second guard, they came to an iron gate that leads into the city, which opened by themselves. Now, we're all used to it, aren't we? You go into a shopping centre, as you walk up to the doors, they go, zzz. You don't touch them, do they? They open automatically. Do you know who invented them? God. First automatic opening doors are here in the Bible. It's true. He says, and he went to the door and it opened automatically. A locked door. And he just opened. And he went through. Past the first guard, the second guard. And when Peter came to himself in verse 11, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth an angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went out and he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is called Mark, where many were gathered and were praying. And he knocked on the door of the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And she recognized Peter. She recognized his voice. Because of the joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in with and announced that Peter is standing at the front gate. Peter, he's standing at the front gate. And he continued to knock. He's knocking on the door of the gate. And the people said, little girl, you're out of your mind. That can't be Peter. He's locked up in prison. We know where he is. When we pray, we need to believe God's going to answer prayer. Amen. When we pray, we need to believe God's going to do something in our lives. When we pray, we need to believe that God is going to change circumstances and situations. Otherwise, we pray in unbelief. We have to pray knowing that God is going to do something. Amen? And so it says that in verse 16, it says, and Peter continued knocking. Well, first, verse 15 says, the girl said to the girl, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting it was so. And they kept saying, it's his angel. It's his angel. Because they believed that in those days that there's an angel that looks just like you. Your angel. Every one of us. And they believed that there was an angel that looked just like you. And so they said, oh, it's his angel trying to come in. But Peter continued knocking. And it says in verse 16, and when they had opened the door, they saw him. Yeah, they saw him. And they were amazed. And he began to tell them all that had happened. You see, when we pray, and when we come together to pray, we can move mountains. When we come together and we worship, we can move mountains. When we come together, we can see circumstances and situations change. Because God is looking for the unity that is in the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And God wants that in His church. And God wants to move in our lives in such a way that we're so, there is so much power flowing through the body of Christ that it will change the area. They'll stop stealing. They'll stop breaking into houses. They'll stop robbing people. Because there will become upon the place a spirit of fear of the things of God. That they will be exposed and found out. And that there'll come a place where there's a place of repentance in Christ Jesus. And so for you and for me, it's so important that we learn to pray together, to believe together, to stand together. And as we do this, when we see our friends hurting, when we see lives being destroyed by the devil, we can stand together in prayer, and through the power of prayer, through the Word of God, we can see that God can change things. You see, you and I can't. We spoke to Sandy quite a number of times, and he would agree with us. But nothing changed. When we went away, he'd go and just do what he wanted. But he would agree. Then we go back and speak with him, and he would agree with us. But nothing changed. It's only when God gets hold of a person that things change.
Amen.
You see, it's easy to say things but not do them. You see, God is looking for people who are doers of the Word. God is looking for people who will do His Word. God is looking for people who are going to put action to the Word that they've read. God is looking for people who are going to put themselves into the Word and let the Word put itself into them and become one with God. And then we shall see the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that God has for each and every one of us. It's God first. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. When you put God first, everything else begins to be placed in order. Everything else begins to place in order. And God begins to be able to protect, to guard, and to keep us. And we shall see mighty things done in the name of Jesus. But if we don't put God first, then what we're going to do is we're going to sell ourselves to the devil. So many people today, you see it on Facebook, they're putting photographs of themselves. And it's like they're advertising themselves. You see girls, sorry girls, but it's usually girls that do it. They're putting photographs and poses up on Facebook. You know what I'm going to say? It's like selling yourself. And let me say this, girls, when you do that, you cheapen the quality of your life. You cheapen yourselves. You lower the value of who you really are to God. You are a pearl of greatest price. And God desires to see that pearl become glorious. But man would seek to destroy. And God wants to protect you. Just watch what you put on Facebook. It's good to communicate. The church has a Facebook site. It's good to communicate. But watch the type of thing you put on. Because you are a treasured vessel in the eyes of God. You are special in the eyes of God. You are His creation. God does not want you spoiled by the sins of this world. And to protect yourself, the Word of God. Begin to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to connect with God. Begin to let God work in your life and see God move. And I want to just encourage you, you know, if you can get along on a Wednesday, make time to be in church. I was saying the other day, when I was a young person your age, church on Sunday morning service, okay? Sunday school I taught in the afternoon, Sunday evening church, after church Sunday evening was youth, praise and worship. We met on Wednesday for prayer meeting, we met on Friday for the youth meeting, we met on Saturday for praise and worship in the church. How many is that? We went to church 7 times. 7 times we went to church. Even carrying all those books I had to carry. You know, they say life is much easier now because of the internet. No, it's not. It's more complicated. Your time gets swallowed up by it all. We were in church always in the presence of God. I used to go to the prayer meeting. It started at 7:30. I had to work sometimes late. I got to the prayer meeting for the last half hour. You know, if God turned up, I wanted to be there. I did not want to miss something. You know, if God's going to suddenly turn up and present a banquet, I want to be there. If God's going to turn up with the power of His Holy Spirit, I wanted to be there. I was hungry. I'm still hungry for the things of God. I am not playing church. I'm not playing church. I want to see the dead raised. I want to see miracles. I want to see souls saved. I want to see this people here growing and affecting this neighborhood in Doncaster in the name of Jesus. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord, and I am not playing church. And I challenge you today, don't play at church. Don't come to me with your excuses. Don't play church. You're not excusing yourself to me. You're excusing yourself to God. Don't play church. Might be a tough word today, but I just want to encourage you. The only way to move forward, the only way we will grasp hold of the things of God and the kingdom of God is when we make those sacrifices and say, God first, Jesus first, and everything else comes afterwards, and everything else can wait. In Africa, they walk miles in the past to go to church. Some folk, I used to work hours and hours at working industry and come home from work and literally drive past home and go straight to church. And some people say, well, aren't you tired? When I got into the presence of God, I was rejuvenated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was suddenly awakened. We've been doing this years. In theory, I should retire. Why? Why? Retire and die? No way. For me to live, Paul says, is Christ. I'm not going to the next bit. For me to live is Christ. I want to encourage you, go for the things of God. Do not let something else stand in your way. Be like the athlete who sees the, you know, when he's running, they're running down the track and they have to leap over these hurdles. You'll have hurdles that come before you. Leap over them and say, I'm going for the finishing line. I'm going to reach the kingdom of God. I'm going to reach the presence of God. Amen? Just stand, everybody, please. Father, we just bow before you now. We bow in your presence. We just ask, Father, that as we look towards you for the future of our own lives, that, Father, that we would put you first in our lives and we would know the power of your presence in our lives. And Father, I pray, Lord, for our young people, that they, Lord, would know the presence of you in their life. They would know, God, a real touch of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask this for your praise and for your glory. I'm just going to say quickly, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you want prayer right now, just come straight out here. I'm going to lay hands on you quickly and just pray with you. And you're coming out before God. You're not coming out to me. You're not coming out to the church. But you're coming out to say, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of your presence. I want more of you, Lord. And I'm going to go for this. And this is a statement between you and God. Amen?
Amen.
So if you need, just come out right now. In Jesus' name. Father, right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your challenge. I can honestly say I'm glad God got hold of me. Glad God got hold of me. It's because Daniel has put God first that he's where he is now and that he has peace and joy in his life. It's the same with Sandip. It's the same with Stephen and so many. It's the same. When God comes in and God has first place, just watch this space. You won't recognize yourself. God will change you from the inside out. Thank God he has the best for us.